Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Well, what is going on, everyone? Mike Singer and Tim Hyde live with you on a Wednesday night. Appreciate you all for making us a part of your day, whether you're watching us live, watching back, listening back. Thank you for making us part of your morning, your afternoon, your evening, wherever you may be, whatever time it is. How is everyone? Got Carberry in the chat. We got Jay Meigs. We got Jay Carr. Got Dynasty ISP asking if I'm doing push-ups. Definitely won't be doing that. Lots to talk about today, Tim. It's the end of February, but the news cycle does not stop about an hour and a half before we went live. Yeah. Some weird college football news broke that we'll talk about. Tim. But are you doing all right, my friend?
Oh, yeah. I mean, doing great. Are you kidding me? We got 7.5 days to spring football. Spring football starts next Thursday, so we're actually start doing some football, which is going to be nice. And obviously, the thousand things that will come from spring football is going to be awesome. Then the next portal window, Mike, opens after spring.
Yeah.
Right. Then it's recruiting. It doesn't end. You know, is there going to be what 3, 4, 5 signing days? Just have one every other month now, moving forward, so kids can make decisions. It's like college football craziness, but hey. We love it. Let's have some fun and let's get rocking for this. I don't even know what to talk. I mean, this 2024 season is, does it feel like it's make or break, but it feels huge. It feels huge for whatever reason. So we're going to get into that here coming up.
Yeah. Jay Carr says we need a Tim Goolsby Singer Show Wednesday to preview what y'all are looking forward to spring ball. So we're going to talk 5 key storylines for the spring with Tim. And I was just texting with Goolsby. We are going to do a show on Monday night.
So God, one, he and one, I. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was gonna say he and I think had a 2-hour text going today, so we are getting a little animated. So that was the Tim Hyde text version. Now this is the sweet cuddly one, as he likes to say. So we'll see.
Yeah, so that'll be Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern time with myself and Goolsby. So should be good. Hope everyone is doing well. Nice to see some familiar faces in the live chat. Please hit the thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to our channel for more content. If you are new here, and we always like to mention our special offer for new subscribers, $1 for 2 months using the promo code UND1. That promo code gets you $1 for 2 months. You're really not going to find a deal that's going to beat that. Very low level of commitment there. And if you don't like it, you can cancel, but we think that you will like it. So we're going to dive right into that news. I kind of hinted at that posted earlier from Ross Dellinger at Yahoo. I'm going to read his tweet. It's posted at 6:17 Eastern on Wednesday. A 14-team playoff model is being socialized that would grant 3 automatic qualifiers each to Big Ten, SEC, 2 automatic qualifiers to each Big Ten / ACC, 1 automatic qualifier to Group of 5, and 3 at large. So, Tim, I've been saying this, that it's just going to keep growing. It's never going to stop. And then we're just going to get rid of the regular season, and it's just going to be like a round robin format, group stage. Like, there's going to be no regular season. It's just going to be the whole damn thing as a tournament. I'm like kind of joking. But yeah, Tim, you sent this to me.
Yeah.
What was your reaction when you saw it?
Well, I mean, this has been talked about really the last couple of weeks. As soon as they, you know, started to solidify with the 24-25 model, boom, instantly they had a meeting with all the ADs, presidents, obviously Notre Dame's ADs there, and say, hey, let's go to 14. I'm telling you, I said this a year ago, it is those home games. These ADs have been, there's been articles written about them where they're like, you know, yeah, bye is awesome, but my God, do I want to play a home playoff game? You know, the money, the excitement of, you know, smashing somebody, so to speak, you know, that first weekend, they're missing out on it. So I think this stems from a lot of that. Obviously, in this new model, you're going to have the top two teams will get a bye, 99%, right? You're going to get Big Ten and the SEC, unless you get a, you know, 13-0 Clemson, 13-0 Florida State, that just has a hell of a season and rolls from there. But, man, me personally, I don't care. I like it. You know, it's like, I mean, let's get after it. I mean, you got to win four games, recruit your butt off, coach your butt off, build the roster, build the team. Let's go to it. So, I mean, that opening weekend of playoff games is just going to be awesome.
Yeah.
They're hosting them. It's just, there's going to be an upset because somebody in the SEC is just going to go smash somebody from the ECC. It's just going to happen. But, yeah. You know, and this all started, obviously, what, 2 weeks ago when it was like the SEC was like, well, we want four teams. Well, that's just a trial balloon to go out there. For me, obviously, we're covering Notre Dame. What does this mean for Notre Dame? For me, I'm a simpleton. Win games. I mean, you want to be in the playoffs, win games. There's no automatic number you need to get. Win games. Be a playoff-worthy football team, which they have not shown the last couple of years. So win games. That's the bottom line. They have a shot to get in. They got a schedule to get in. They got an at-large bid to go. They'll be the fifth seed, whatever the heck it is. You know, if they have the, you know, the magical undefeated regular season. So I don't think anything changes for Notre Dame. It's still the same thing. Win games and you're in.
Tim, we haven't even started the damn 12 team. We're already talking about 14. Or, I mean, are you freaking kidding me?
What's two teams? I mean, seriously, what's two teams? They probably should have done this immediately and just gone to it.
And then it's going to be what's two more teams? Let's get to 16. It's going to get to 24. It's going to get to 32. I'm telling you, Tim. No. So it's just going to keep going.
No, it's not because then there's going to be, okay, if you go 24, if you do what the 1AA, I still call it 1AA, I don't give a damn, but the FCS level does, what they do 24, then you're going to have to cut back the regular season. You're going to have to get rid of conference championships. That's not going to happen because, first off, NBC is paying for Big Ten games. So if you want to go to 24, 36, you have to cut back in the regular season. NBC, ESPN, CBS throwing all this money out for regular season games. They're paying for those, and they're not going to get rid of that. I think we're going to get stuck at 14. If you go 16, who gives a darn? It's 1 versus 16, Georgia versus Boise. Enjoy your butt kicking. So be it if it goes to 16. It doesn't – I don't really give a damn. As long as Notre Dame wins freaking games and gets their butt in there, that's all I care about. So
when you talked about how exciting those first-round games are going to be to watch, my thought was that was what the traditional New Year's Six games used to be when – it was just the BCS format, like your Rose Bowl. I mean, watching the Rose Bowl at my aunt's house on New Year's Day on that little 32-inch TV, that was everything. Everything. And then the Sugar Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl that night. I mean, those games were everything. And so I guess that's just going to kind of go back to that. But those teams get to then play for the title, at least in how it feels to me.
But they're still there. They're still playing in the Sugar Bowl. They're still playing in the Fiesta. They're probably still playing a Rose Bowl game. Those games and now title. Are playoff games. You know, yeah. I mean, believe me, New Year's Day was like sacred. We, you know, tons of people. We'd always have awesome events, you know, living in SoCal because you could do that. It's beautiful weather all day, you know, and we'd have great parties. I mean, we did all that stuff. I get it. You know, but then you're still sitting there as a Notre Dame fan sitting there. Florida State loses, Notre Dame win the title in 93, and you wake up and it's a freaking pollster telling me that Notre Dame beating number one Florida State didn't matter because the pollsters are like, well, this is what we're going to do. How about 2003 when USC boat races everyone, yet USC doesn't get into the BCS by like a millimeter of a percentage point, and it's Nick Saban, shockingly, he gets in with LSU to play Oklahoma to give Saban that first title. So that was a computer picking that. Now we're getting rid of all that crap. It's boom. Let's go play football. Go play football. The best teams, who's recruited the best, managed the best coaches. That's what it's about. That's the way I look at it. It's in the minor bowls, the Notre Dame Sun Bowl trophy could still shine bright in an 8-4 season. It's going to be there. Those bowls are still going to be around because they've always been around. They've always been for the 7-5 Iowas. They've always been for the 9-3 Notre Dame this year. So those games are still there. I don't think there's any less meaning on those games because they're never playoff games to begin with. So I'm just going around, Mike. But I think I like it because it's a freaking playoff. It's playoff.
Yeah, it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be very entertaining. I guess it's kind of one of those nostalgia things for me growing up watching college football, and it's just a lot different. But, you know, I think as a consumer, 12, 14, 16, whatever it is, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it. And the school I cover, I think, is going to benefit from it. As we talked about last week, you know, we brought up that Pete Sampson tweets like, no, Notre Dame's not getting a raw dog deal here. They freaking designed this thing. Like, this is exactly what they wanted. They basically get a, you know, a bye by not playing in the conference championship game. And then you get to host, you know, as a number 5 or 6, whatever they potentially end up being.
But those are only in seasons if they earn it.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. I mean, people read that. You go on Twitter like, oh, my God, Notre Dame's getting a 5 seed. No, they better go 12-0. It's right. Like, they're not getting in there, guys, at 9-3. You go on Twitter, some people just can't read, I guess, and they just assume because Notre Dame's AD is a part of this thing, like, oh, my God, Notre Dame's automatically in the playoff? No. They have to earn it. And yeah, it's funny. I love going back. I love doing the post-Lou Holtz eras. So you got 97 to 23. It's 27 years, Mike. And in those 27 years, had there been a 14-team playoff, Notre Dame makes it 9 times. So you got 1 out of every 3 years Notre Dame's in the playoffs. And guess what this year is, by the way, Mike, for Marcus Freeman? Year 3. He's missed it twice. He's perfect line. The stars are lining up perfect for Marcus Freeman. Year 3, Notre Dame averages a playoff every 3 years. Freeman, you got the gravy schedule. It's sweet and cuddly. Win the damn football games and you get a playoff first. So how nice is this?
Year 3 is the biggie. Put it on a t-shirt. That's what Tim Hyde always says. Year 3 is the biggie.
You know, and this, you know, and lastly, someone just put Notre Dame in the Big Ten. No, Notre Dame doesn't need a conference if this is what they're doing because the Big Ten's going to battle each other. They got 3 automatics. Same with the SEC. It's basically, I talked about this on the message board, but there's a couple great posters on our message board that just dive into TV contracts and stuff like that. It's awesome. You know, we got a couple lawyers on there always yapping as well. But it's the champion. Who's ever in the Big Ten championship game, those two are automatically going. Then you get your third place team, which this year I think would have been Penn State. Ole Miss was the third place in the SEC this year. Last year, the third place team would have been Alabama. Last year's SEC would have been Brian Kelly, LSU, and Georgia automatically in. So same thing with the ACC, the Big 12, because there's no more divisions. So the top two teams are playing for a title. It's basically just playing for playoff seeds. Whoever makes those conference titles are automatically in the playoffs. So that goes back to your thing about the, you know, does the regular season wane? It still matters.
Did I say that? No, maybe
a little if the playoffs expanded a ton, you know what I mean?
No, I'd say they're just going to get rid of the whole damn thing. It's just going to be, well, you know.
Well, they're definitely not going to do that. Season. Yeah, no, they're definitely not going to do that. And, you know, that the season's still a giant playoff onto itself. So that's my philosophy. And especially being a Notre Dame fan, you don't have a conference. Our conference, when I say our, is Notre Dame fans. You know, that Notre Dame's conference is your schedule. The Power 5, Power 4 now, Group of 4, whatever the heck they're calling it these days. Those are your conference games, and you got to win those damn bad boys. So it's going to be interesting to see if, because the SEC is going to 9 games, Mike, in 2 years conference. So do these future Alabama, Florida games, Arkansas games, are they canceled that they have? That's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. But win games if you're not a Notre Dame fan. Pretty easy.
Tim, I gotta tease you for a minute.
I love it.
You know, before we went live, you were telling me about how, you know, the length of the show tonight that you were planning. We just yapped for 15 minutes on that. So we're gonna.
It's a huge topic, though. It is a huge topic.
But not even on the docket for the show tonight.
We got rid of something. You always got to delete, Mike.
And then I tell Tim, hey, remind me next Wednesday morning, and then he probably won't. And then it just goes into the ethers. Here was some news that was really interesting on Monday, Tim. Will Black, a Notre Dame offensive line commit. He is from Canada, plays his ball in Connecticut. Ranked as a 5-star prospect, according to On3. Now, for folks watching on YouTube, his On3 profile is on the screen, and it has the other rankings up as well. I do believe Rivals bumped him to a 4-star today. Shocking. I fully anticipated everyone to kind of bump up Will Black for multiple reasons, because the kid deserves it, in my opinion. But also, you know, I think they're kind of, On3 ranked this guy a 5-star. Probably should get bumped up. Probably that's my tinfoil hat on. But number 6 overall player, Tim. He went from 203 up to number 6. Number 14 offensive tackle up to number 1. So I want to kind of talk about this. You know what? No. We'll go to you. We'll get your reaction, then I'll give some context and some more thoughts. And when you guys tweet me, it's possible that we're going to show it up on the stream here, because I see a lot of things. I'm like, all right, these are good questions. Let's talk about them. But first, let's pop on his junior tape, Tim. Why don't you tell me what you think?
Well, the one thing I did was, I mean, first off, it's awesome because all you have to do if you're a big old Lion fan like I am and you love watching film is just go watch the guys. Go watch the players. And I'm off this week. We have a little vacation week. And, you know, Tim Hyde sitting there after dishes are done, Mike, and the house is vacuumed. I literally jumped online and I watched about 90 minutes. Get a life, Tim Hyde, right? 90 minutes of just the top dozen offensive tackles to be like, all right, let's see where Will Black is, because Sanders and the Petty guy, and there's some dudes down in Texas. They've been top 5-10 for a year, you know, basically since all these 2025 classes come out. I'm telling you, man, you watch Will Black, there's a no-brainer. I'm not saying he's number one. He's without a doubt in the top 5, without a doubt. You watch films of guys, there's a couple tackles, you're like, that dude's never playing tackle. He's a guard, can't move a lick, that's ranked higher. So he is really good. Breaking down, like comparing him to the national, once again, the national top 10, 12 guys in the country, without a doubt. I mean, does he stick 5-star? I have no idea. But when you just watch him play, his physicality, his athleticism, just basic O-line stuff. You want great O-linemen to have pad level, great stance, and can bend their darn knees and strike. And he has all of it. When I say leverage, it's the gap side he's supposed to block. Whether it's on a run, a pull, pass block, he wins to his side. I got, once again, Mike, I watch film. I'm sorry, man. My wife doesn't care, which is nice. So you go on this great thing called YouTube, type in choke football. The whole league's got like their own like live streams and stuff like that. So it's really, really good football in New England. A lot of scholarship football players out here. And I watched a bunch of games of his. And I'm like, holy moly, he's better watching a game than he is his highlight. You see so much of him. And it's warranted. Whether it's 1, 2, 3, he is without a doubt a top 5 offensive tackle in the country, Mike. It's impressive. Now, obviously, they ranked him up high. Some people could do whatever they want in the other services because they're all going through their next things. I find it interesting. You've been around this, Mike, for a ton. And I know you talked to Charles and Cody, you know, the On3 guys that ranked this thing. It's like, I'm always fascinated when someone comes out. This is a big move. It's big because he wasn't ranked before. So what if they didn't rank anybody until today, right?
Yeah.
And Will Black comes out. It's like, okay, awesome. But people are like, oh my God, he jumped up 200 spots.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Yeah.
Easy. You watched all the junior film. A lot of these kids' films didn't even come alive until Christmas, New Year's. And then you crank all this stuff in, start comparing things. So it's if he was never ranked and this came out a five-star, people go and watch his film, compare him to other guys, you'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
He's freaking good. He really is a good, good football player.
So, yeah.
Big, big excitement for Notre Dame to get him. I'm sure he's going to stay here because he's going to get better. He was on an awesome Twitter thing. I'll put the link in. There's a New England Twitter guy that runs all this New England high school football. Will Black was just on like a week ago, did a live feed, and he was awesome. Just talking about Notre Dame and how he got the choate and the competition and whatnot. It was really, really cool. So I'll find that link and post it for people to watch. But I know I'm rambling, Mike, but he's exciting. He's without a doubt the best one on the Notre Dame board. Yeah. You start watching all the junior film, he's legit. People want to talk about some other guys that Notre Dame's offered. I think Will is the best one. I think he will end up being a national top 50 recruit when all these services get in there. But let me ask you this, because this is what I want to find fascinating. This is my little CJ Carr conspiracy, is because with CJ, on three kept him where he was. No one else moved him, right? Were they all nervous? Is this going to be the same thing with Will Black? Are they going to, are some of these services scared to move him because on three did? I don't know. Is that the inner workings in these recruiting offices, right?
I got a lot to say.
Go for it.
I have a lot to say. And let's just see if I can keep it all up in here before it floats away. And then I don't remember.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
I was with Rivals, and I got to, you know, I was never involved in the rankings process. And a lot of the Rivals guys who were ranking the players from when I was at Rivals from, what, 13 to 19, a lot of them are gone. But I didn't really understand what their criteria was for a lot of different things. On3 is transparent that how they view a ranking success is based on the NFL draft. The best players in college football typically get drafted the highest. They'll admit it's not the perfect system, but you know it's the best that they can kind of come up with. So someone like Kingston Viliamuas was a five-star Rivals, but not an On3 because you know of like the long-term. You know, like the traits thing, like between the ears, they're like, yeah, Kingston's got like the best traits of all the line, or excuse me, the best, like in between the ears, the read and react, the trigger, all that stuff, but maybe not like, you know, the long arms, the stuff that the scouts freak over for the combine, right? So Kingston wasn't a five-star at On3 for some of those reasons. I know Notre Dame fans are like, I don't really give a rat's ass about the NFL draft. I just care about what they're going to do at Notre Dame. Well, then start your own ranking service, like, because that's what the On3 guys are doing. And I want to say 24/7 might do the same thing in terms of, you know, ranking success is determined by the NFL draft. Well, bringing this back to Will Black, Tim, Black, I think, is ranked as a five-star. And it's for a positive reason. Will Black is 6'8 and plays really well at his 280 pounds right now, and he's got such a high trajectory for continued growth, and he's being compared so much to Joe Alt. On3's gotta be like, this kid is probably gonna be a first round pick. Like this is the trajectory, like the trajectory of this young man is obviously very, very difficult to project. But that's kind of the path they think he's going to go on. So it's kind of like the opposite of the Kingston ranking. Does that make sense, Tim?
Oh yeah, okay. No, exactly. And okay. Yeah. And I would say his comparison to Alt is Alt at Notre Dame. There's no comparison to Alt in high school. You watch Alt in high school and you're like, he's a tight end who's in motion and blocking and kicking out and doing a couple things, catching a pass here and there. Didn't he play quarterback in like some of his highlight thing, he's running or throwing. Yeah. But great athlete. That's what Notre Dame and the Big Ten team saw in him, was an tall, athletic guy, just like his dad was. So they saw those types of traits. Click on the top O-lineman real quick, Mike, on Will's thing, like the on-play. Yeah. Just for a little comparison. Like I said, I went and watched a bunch of these guys. David Sanders is like the consensus top five player in the country. Unbelievable skill level. Mike, he is little. I don't, you know, so when you want to, you know, people want to look at rankings and stuff like that. He is, if he's 250 pounds, okay. I mean, seriously, I'll be surprised. He's really little. So when you're trying to compare, and he's an SEC guy, all his offers are SEC. Anyone has to watch SEC and be like, there's not a lineman that's under 320. How is he ever going to reach that potential? That's what I'm curious about. I really like him, but when I watch him, I'm like, my God, he may never play a snap for three some odd years because he's got to gain weight. The Emil Wagner issue. This guy, this Kansas guy, Mike, if I had to rank someone number one, he's pretty good, man. It's a damn good football player. This guy right here, this Schultz, who Notre Dame's starting to recruit. You want to talk about a guy no one's ever heard of. He's got like no ranking from anybody. And I think you wrote about him, or Kyle, how Notre Dame's starting to chat with him. Legit superstar athletic ability. Yeah, no.
Yeah, he's got a ranking all right.
Yeah, he does there. Exactly. No one else knows who the heck he is. So, which is pretty interesting. Well, but there's some good offensive tackles. That's why I'm saying, yeah, I'm being conservative right now. Yeah. Talking about Will. He's without a doubt a top five. I would not hesitate to say he's easily warning number one right now going into the camps and his senior season. So without a doubt. The Bishop Gorman guy, really, I know Notre Dame is recruiting him for a while. He's going to be a guard, outstanding football player. Last name, Utu. Good player.
I'm going to pull up some tweets now. Okay.
Sure.
So I tweeted this out. How much y'all want to bet Will Black gets bumped up a good bit by the other side? So, like, you guys bookmarked that tweet just like I did. So I did save a few of these responses. So Michael says, the better question is, and I'm a Notre Dame fan, how does someone go from the low 200s to number six in the offseason after playing a New England prep school season? Don't get me wrong, he looks like a great prospect, but rankings get more ridiculous each year. No offense. And reading some of the responses on Monday, I just realized, and no offense to Michael, there's so many people have just no idea about any of this. And it's not your fault. You just have no idea about the ranking stuff. And Tim, side note, I used to be like, man, I get so worked up on rankings day. And I was going to, and then by the end, if I was like, all right, next time I'm just going to let the people complain and I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to. And then I just decided last year, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. You know, I'm just going to stoop down to the levels and I'm just going to get in rankings arguments. It's fun. I'm passionate about it. What the hell? Let's do it. But if people are going to have these such strong opinions about some of this ranking stuff, at least know what the hell you're talking about a little bit. Okay. So how does someone go from the low 200s to number six in the off season after playing New England prep school season? Where you play your football does not matter at all. Like, it really doesn't. It's about how you are as a player. So some of your competition can give you an idea of how good you are, but like it's so much more just about it's more than just film, right? That's why Notre Dame will offer a bunch of kids from camps.
Yep.
Right? It's why the measurables are very important. It's all of these things, Tim. The film is always the most important thing, but. It's a lot of other things too. Go ahead real quick, Tim.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's Will Black.
That's Will Black. Black
offered in person, got invited to camp, worked out with Coach Joe Rudolph, gets an offer. Same with Augustine. Yeah. I mean, you got some of these guys working out in live and living color in front of the staff. That's one great thing. Me and you talked about this a month ago. The amount of offers that Notre Dame gave to guys at camp in person after seeing guys and things of that nature, which is good. But why did he move up? It's easy. I just said it 2 minutes ago. Film. They all broke down junior film, and it's so noticeable to compare his junior film, the sophomore film, compare his junior film to the other 25 guys and a giant board where they're pegging and ranking guys. It's, and once again, it's what if this was the first ranking, if this was the first ranking and now you're moving on. So it's guys that are finishing their junior year and you're moving on. It's totally warranted. So I don't buy the, well, no one's allowed to move up 100 spots. Hell, sure.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't matter. And so this is kind of getting to this. Chris said, how does this make any sense? Notre Dame fan here, just side note, baffling Notre Dame. Like, why would you talk crap about your player getting bumped up? Whatever. How does this make any sense? How do people not question recruiting sites at this point? 3-star outside the top 200, then poof, he is number 6 in the country. Okay. Well, first of all, he wasn't a 3-star. It was a 4-star. So the poof is that On3 hadn't ranked since the early junior season. They did an early junior season, like first 3-4 games update. They were focused on the 2024 class, and then you rank, you know, after 2024 class is done. Now you have your full 2025, season to go off of. So that's what, going back to my other point of, like, if you're going to have these opinions, you got to at least know, don't be this guy. With all due respect, Chris, like, and the comment here from Thor says, maybe because this is the first ranking update since the season ended. Thank you. Like, this, that is, yes, the correct, that's the correct thing. We talked about this for the past couple months, Tim, like, don't worry about the 2025 rankings, yes, right now, because it was just, there's so much, like, we knew this was going to be a major update. The Daylon Penson kid from Georgia, who Notre Dame offered recently, he didn't have a ranking, and now he's the number 100 player in the country per On3. Like, and guess what? He probably didn't have any offers, like, really during his senior season. So, like, not even schools knew about him. You might be like, how does someone go from unranked to a top 100 player? It's, you can ask the question, how does someone go from no offers to a ton of offers in the off season? They're not playing football. How do you go up the rankings? Because you get new information. You know, you go through the film more, maybe blows up at a camp. Like, so those things all matter. Tim, I want to do one more tweet. It's sort of related. Another Michael here. This is kind of something that bothers me a little bit. Michael says, number 1 in 6 tackles on the board and pretty impressive line being built. And I'm thinking to myself, number 1 in 6? Who's, so if Will's the number 6 tackle, the number 1 offensive tackle, I'm like, is he going by On3's rankings? No, number 6 is this kid from Lewisville, Texas. He's going off of Owen Strebig's rivals ranking. So we can't, guys, if you're going to use, like, you don't want to use, like, On3's ranking for this kid and then, you know, rivals for this kid and then say, well, we have the number 1 here and, we have the number 1 and 6 offensive tackles in the country, but you're just picking apart, you're just picking one website here, one website here. That's just kind of inconsistent. I think that's a little bit intellectually dishonest, but all right, that's my rankings rant. I will throw it over to you, Tim. And then
at the end of the day, it could be another 5-star, right? Derby Lambert was one, Neil Wagner a couple of years ago, obviously Charles Jagasaw. These are all 5-star linemen signed that On3 ranked as 5-stars, and no one's complaining about them. So just enjoy it, man. It's what do we got? March 1st coming up here. You got ranking dumps. Every service is going to do it. Enjoy them. We're going to have, what, 6 more of these, 7 more of these or whatever the heck it is, over and over again with the camps and then the spring evaluation period and on and on and on. So enjoy them. Have fun. People just lose their mind with some of these, and it's like, enjoy them. As long as they come. Hey, remember at the end of the day, Mike, we say it each and every week, I feel like, only a third of these guys are ever playing anyway at Notre Dame. So enjoy it. We'll figure out which third make it, and the rest of them enjoy life.
John Massey says, Singer, are you putting Riley in the portal and starting Angeli in your NCAA dynasty? I have some big decisions to make.
Oh boy.
Regarding some of these things. because, you know, in my late night free time, you know, I play some video games on a Twitch stream, and, you know, I'm definitely going to be grinding NCAA a good bit. And obviously I'm going to have like a dynasty with where I'm playing Notre Dame. And do I just do the Notre Dame, your ideal starters, or do I just start Angeli and then, you know, just play all the players that Mike Singer likes the most? I don't know, Tim. Got big decisions to make.
Play the walk-on. Just run the ball, play the walk-on, hand off, and let's go, right?
There you go. All right, let's hear from our sponsors over at Augie's Locker Room, the number one place for Notre Dame memorabilia, one-of-a-kind Fighting Irish items. And you're really only able to find some of this stuff at Augie's Locker Room, which has moved to a brand-new location. Check out Augie's new store at 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend, just down the street from Notre Dame. So whenever you are in town, you got to make time for Augie's Locker Room. Check out the wide selection of Notre Dame Stadium pieces, jerseys, helmets, autographs, and one-of-a-kind Rockne items. Check out their exclusive Joe Montana signed items and famous sculptor Jerry McKenna's replicas of the bronze statues around the stadium. And Augie gets new stuff in all the time. If he doesn't have it in store, he can go get it for you. So check it out, 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend, and see the vintage helmet display dating back to 1890s. Got some amazing stuff. You're going to want to check it out over at AugiesLockerRoom.com. And Augie also has a appreciation giveaway. As he says on his website here, we are grateful for your continuous support with Augie's appreciation giveaway throughout February. Just purchase $20 or more online or in store during February, and you're automatically entered to win an exclusive special hand-painted Notre Dame helmet by Al Sorensen, which is pretty neat. So we're about ending the month of February, but getting into March, see if Augie has another appreciation giveaway for you guys. And you can give him a call, 574-277-6363, 574-277-6363. All right, Tim, what do we got next? Five spring storylines.
Here we go. A little pre-hype for everybody.
So Notre Dame's first spring practice is on March 7th. And Tim, it's kind of weird. They have one practice and then they kind of break for a week, or 2 weeks. Never really understood that. I'm sure they have their reasons, but their spring break, but I don't really understand why having one and then breaking for 2 weeks. But again, I'm sure that they have their reasons.
I've not seen the spring schedule.
They did that under Brian Kelly as well. I don't think they had done it under Freeman so far yet.
No, I know. I mean, they've kind of gone right. Wait. So they're going to go out there, do their stretch in, run around their t-shirts. We'll have the overreaction for a week now. 10 days
until the next practice. The schedule that we got, which is not for public consumption.
Yeah, it's not out yet.
It's not something we could talk about, dates and everything, but it only had 12 practices listed, I think, and I think they got 15. So maybe there's some sneaked in there that they don't want anyone knowing. I don't know, Tim, but they at least don't have anything where media has any access to for I think like 13 or 14 days or something. But side note. But let's get into your five key storylines that you came up with today. Number one, quarterback watch. And it's kind of like after Riley Leonard, right? We know Riley Leonard is going to be the guy. There's no debate there. But you're always intrigued about what's behind QB1.
Yes. We could talk about this as we do a lot. It's just who is going to solidify themselves. And I know the text I sent you is transfer watch. It's like who is that? No,
I didn't like it because I don't think anyone's going to transfer after spring ball at the quarterback position. I don't.
Mike, you know what? I'm going to owe you a $2 something. I don't know.
Okay.
I always say $2 on bets, but if Notre Dame seriously goes into Texas A&M with four quarterbacks on scholarship, I'll owe you $2.
I didn't say that they'll go into Texas A&M. I just think I don't think it'll be like after spring ball. You know, maybe it could be after
spring ball. Because after spring ball is A&M, Mike, so you're going to have that. So,
there's going to be – okay. I don't think it's going to be something like that happens right after spring ball.
Will it be a Tyler Buchner thing you're saying? Like Buchner, boom, spring game ended. He was in the portal on Tuesday.
Right. I don't think anything like that. Like I think if someone leaves, it could be like sometime in the – I don't know the transfer portal windows these days, what the hell it even is. Yeah. But I don't know. But I still don't think anyone leaves. I think that this group is going to stay intact.
Okay. Well, then there you go. Well, then once again, who is going to solidify themselves? I said this 9 months ago. It's like, you know, or whenever Riley Leonard, you know, committed, it seems like since October, everyone knew this was happening. It's because, you know, as we constantly talk about this freaking hamster wheel of portal, recruit all these guys. We hype up all these high school guys. They come to Notre Dame, portal, boom, go, go, go. So, does it end? We keep hearing Freeman doesn't want to do the portal again. Then this spring is massive. This spring is massive to be able to solidify. That's my number two going into training camp. And then you got to redo more things. But if you're number two coming out of spring football, 14 practices in the scrimmage, you know, the blue and gold game, it's really 14 practices. Let's just get into that. But if you come out of here as the number two, you've got to be the odds-on favorite to win the job next year. So if you're Steve Angeli and you've taken 2 years of experience, he should have been the bowl game MVP. Let's just say he is. And you got that great experience. He did. He played awesome in that game. He's got that experience. He got his game reps last year. And he is, without a doubt, the number two after spring going into summer. What do the other guys start thinking? Because that's why I'm saying it is transfer watch. It has to be. I know we could even sit here and say CJ Carr, but if Steve Angeli is ahead of all these guys, Mike, he's got 2 years. He could be the starter for 2 years. So CJ Carr is going to chill here for three. Minchie for a couple. You still got Deuce Knight. We're already I can't believe we're talking 2026 quarterbacks on the message board. I'm like, what's the odds of some of these coaches even being here, and we're talking about things in 2026, which is crazy, but you got to do it. I know. So I'm telling you, man, this spring is huge because it's just going to lay the foundation. It just is. And who knows what happens with Riley Leonard, right? Does he sprain another ankle? Does he just go crazy and throw picks a bunch?
Knock on wood.
I mean, people need to read Tyler Horka's articles where Tyler's breaking down all his stuff at Blue and Gold, and he's gone over all of his starts. Today was the Notre Dame game. People need to read those things. And it's funny because I've asked you to bring Tyler on when he's done, and hopefully we'll bring him on here in the next few weeks to come on and chat with us about all the things that he's seen from Riley. But I get the gist of it is he's not Sam Hartman. Sam Hartman came in here with a boatload of experience, tons of playing time, took Wake Forest to the ACC championship game. Riley Leonard is still learning how to play quarterback,
yeah,
which is kind of scary.
With a much, much higher ceiling.
Exactly. But
lower floor.
It's a little bit of scariness of he's still kind of running, you know, kind of brand new. He's got, 20 starts, 21, 22 starts, whatever the heck it is under his belt. So, and it's at Duke, so, which is a middle-of-the-road ACC program. Not a lot of pressure there, so. Number two, Mike, I've said it 1,000 times. I'm going to stick to it. I just think it's massive coming out of spring to see who's
who. Okay. Go ahead. Spring storyline number two for Tim Hyde is six running backs for one spot. What are you thinking here?
Well, I mean, my God, all we've heard is Mike Denbrock the savior. We got 11 personnel. 11 personnel is the new buzzword, Mike. So here we go. We always got to find the new buzzword. So now it's 11 personnel, which is interesting because if you have 11 personnel, that means Raritan, Mitch Evans, one of those are on the bench, so enjoy that. Six running backs for one spot, which does go back to Mike Denbrock. He talked of being goofy, obviously, with the 11 personnel, but that's what he said. He wants to do 11 personnel, meaning three wide receivers. If Notre Dame has three wide receivers, man, that would be nice because we haven't seen that in a while. So the six running backs, Mike, is one ball, only one running back at a time. How in the heck are you going to play six running backs? What's the odds of having six? But what's the odds of having six come, you know, six running backs come training camp? That's going to be wild. You know, that's going to be wild.
Well, but I'm going back.
me personally, it's Jadarian Price. I'm a huge
as running back one.
Yeah, he showed it in the bowl game. He's just a hell of a running back. And it goes back to 2 years ago when he was a true freshman. And McCullough said he was probably going to start over Estime, and he gets injured. So does he have that back, or, you know, back as where he was before he got injured, of being running back one, being the dude? I like him. I thought he was a stud. So six running backs, one spot. We'll see what happens, because obviously Den Brock wants to do more spread type actions and things of that nature. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens with all these tight ends and running backs.
The ND Troll Sniper says Jadarian Price, Jeremiah Love, and Kedron Young will be 1A, 1B, 1C. I saw that. I started laughing. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. That's just not how it works. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get equal carries for all these guys unless it's like three carries per.
But they'll definitely find two, you know, obviously, you know, two coming out of spring and training camp that are going to roll from there. Yeah, I've gone back and watched some 14-15 film from Den Brock's game. I put myself through 2014 Florida State. Oh, painful for all those guys watching this. And then I rewatched SC from 15. And yeah, I mean, Den Brock, it's Mike Den Brock, Brian Kelly. It's literally the same damn offense that they did at LSU. So all spread stuff, tons of 11 personnel, hip tight end, which they had in those days, just like they had with Taylor in the last 2 years at LSU. A lot of the same stuff going back and forth. So anyone interested in what Den Brock, go back and watch 14-15 Notre Dame. We're going to see a lot of those types of things.
Number three, spring storyline. Will the defensive line class go into 2022? The Tyson Ford, who else? You had Heinisch in that year. 2020. I'm sorry?
Gobira.
Aiden Gobira. 2023, Brendan Vernon. Who came in as linebackers and then defensive linemen?
Obviously, mixed
up in my head now. You got two Burnham.
Yeah, obviously those are linebackers. But, yeah, you got Devin Houston. He was the scout team player of the year. You got Boubacar Traore.
It's a big one.
Armel Mukum. But I said both of those just because they've been in the system. They've been in the system, and Notre Dame is ridiculous. I mean, it's transfers and Brian Kelly's defensive or Mike Elston guy still. So when do these Freeman guys start to pop in into the two deep and start playing for Notre Dame? And it's year three. This is when year three, some of these recruits, other than a corner or a running back, need to start making some plays, start getting in there. So, you know, that's why I just said who's going to rise up, because if Rubio's not back, wide open spot. So you got a wide open spot. If Rubio's back, you're going Rubio, Anya, two older guys. And then you got your Cross, who's been here for 12 years, and Riley Miller. I can't believe guys want to play college football for 6 years. I said that about Hartman. I can't believe it, but 6 years. Then you got Oben, who's a transfer. His backup with Nana gone is probably going to be Burnham. So there's one of these guys starting to rise up. And then on the other side, it's, you know, Jordan Botello, and then who knows after that. So some of these guys is tailor-made. Inside's the key to me, is because all these guys are going to be older and gone and leaving. So the 22, 23 inside guys, man, they got to start making some headway as we get ready for a 2024 and five.
Yeah. Really interested to see Devin Houston and Brandon Vernon. That's two that I'm like, how much are we going to see them on the field this year? Going to the other side of the line, starting five offensive line for Texas A&M. So are you thinking, like, you get that first practice report, they write about who that first O-line group was, and that's kind of what you're expecting to see against A&M. Is that why this is a major spring storyline for you?
Yes. Me personally, yeah. I mean, last year Joe Rudolph was new, still trying to see who's who. Kristoffic goes out, you know, with the guys, Coogan and Spindler, third string, drinking water, hanging out. You know, that's kind of, you know, Tosh Baker, wasn't Tosh? No, that was the year before, or Baker was out there before Blake Fisher. But I think we're going to see the same five from the Sun Bowl. I just do. Moving forward, I think Tosh Baker Josh Baker's the key. He's been here. He's going into that fourth, you know, fifth year, right? Oh my God, Mike, he's 2020. Yeah. So exactly. So he's been in the system. The COVID year obviously killed him. I remember great interview Harry Hiestand did, and they asked about Tosh, and he just said he lost like 18 months of his life, basically, just trying to develop, grow, and things of that nature. And I remember him saying, watch this guy in a couple of years. So the fact that Tosh is here, because they had a competition in the bowl practices. That was a wide open competition, and he won it over Emil. So I think that's I think that's a big telltale. He's still here in the program, which leads all of us, I would think, to be like, he feels he's going to be the starter. And I bet he wins that job. And I think Billy's going to be the starter. He was the starter last spring. Rocco beat him out. But I think the experience now, those, what did he start, the last three games? Same with Ashton Craig. You know, Craig's going to be a stud, by the way. So, I mean, he's an offensive tackle playing center. He's so long and athletic. I see Coogan still staying in there because I don't think you throw away 13 starts. He's a senior. Ashton Craig's a junior. Shrouth's a junior. Baker's a fifth-year guy. And then Jagasaw's going to start because like, who the hell's behind them? That's going to be – talk about that down the road. Those are going to be like, who in the heck are the backup tackles? So start flipping coins. But that's my prediction going into A&M.
All right, number five is – will a wide receiver one emerge, Tim? I feel like I've been saying this before the past three seasons, but like talented rooms, but just not that like dog number one that they've had in the past. But will they have one this year?
I don't know, Mike. So we are going to hang out for the next one. This guy says Jaden Thomas. I'm sorry. I don't think Jaden Thomas is a number one receiver. He's a solid middle of the road, mid-range type wide receiver. Number one wide receiver is a dude who's going to go beat you. Yeah. It's third and eight. Throw me the damn football. I don't think Jaden Thomas is that guy. So that's just my
own. Someone said Faison. I don't think that's Faison either. He's a slot. He's got a very defined role. I think Jaden Thomas has a defined role. I think you're looking at what, like Chris Mitchell? Like, can he?
It's going to come from a transfer, right? It's going to come from Bo Collins, but Bo's not here in spring, so we won't know until the summer. And you're right. You just said it. It's Chris Mitchell. Is he legitimate, as in a true number one?
Yeah.
He had a hell of a year at FIU Florida International. Is he that dude? Does he come here and show he's that outside presence to go make plays, which is funny. I said I've been watching 14-15 film. First play against SC, everyone knows it's been around the block, is a 75-yard bomb to Will Fuller against Adoree Jackson. So two of the fastest guys on earth going toe-to-toe. So is it Cam Williams? He's a freshman.
Yeah.
His name hasn't had a dude at freshman play since Michael Floyd. And it's hard to put that on Cam. That's just, that's just my opinion.
If he does, great. But yeah, that'd be tough to.
Yeah. Floyd was, people don't realize, when they were not around, Michael Floyd was a freak. He was a straight up 5-star dude in high school. Yeah. That's back when the All-Star game mattered and those guys went toe to toe for 60 minutes. He's a stud, so it's hard to compare people to Michael Floyd.
Yeah. All right, so that's Tim Hyde's five storylines to watch for Notre Dame spring of football. And you did mention, Tyler Horka will be at those practices, and we'll definitely get him on our show probably every other week throughout spring practice. I had somebody text me who's watching the show about the spring schedule, so I don't know. Maybe the schedule that I got sent is already outdated. I don't know, but we'll definitely have plenty of coverage, not only on our website, blueandgold.com, but the guys who are on site will be taking video. They'll be doing their post-practice reports from campus, and we'll post them, of course, right here on our YouTube channel after your boy Mike Singer gets them all edited up and pretty. So I know a lot of people – the other outlets will just slap up 3 minutes of video and then you have to like get a magnifying glass and be like, who is this even on the, like, what am I even looking at? So what we try to do is break down, like the guys will tell you what they saw throughout practice and then we'll put the highlights and whatnot on top of it. So Definitely stay tuned to that. Last thing, Tim, before we get out of here, was this wild thing this morning.
Yeah.
This just always something. Tim, this has to be the craziest offseason ever in college football, right?
Hey.
And just in terms of the sheer amount of crazy things. I've been saying this. Mike Denbrock left Brian Kelly, who he worked under at Notre Dame, went to LSU with him, leaves Brian Kelly to go work at Notre Dame, basically saying, I liked Notre Dame more than you know, I want Notre Dame more than I want you, Brian Kelly, right? That is like the number 87 storyline of this crazy ass off season. And that is to me, that was something like no one really cared about. It got, you know, it's a couple day headlines and everyone moved on, but what a bonkers ass off season. You just never know what you're going to get. So NCAA football officials are meeting this week to discuss three signing periods, according to ESPN. Last Wednesday in June, they love the Wednesdays, Tim. You have to do it on a Wednesday, apparently. The Wednesday after the regular season and the first Wednesday in February. What are your thoughts on this, Tim?
Just go back to the old days, man. That's my opinion. Why do we need an early signing period? If you're Cooper Flanagan, I mean, that's one of my favorites, you know, De La Salle. If you're Cooper Flanagan, I'm throwing it out because big time Catholic high school, and you're going to Notre Dame. You don't have to take phone calls. You don't have to talk on Twitter. You don't have to do any of that crap. Your college decision is made. It's the same thing. If you're Joe Smith and you're going to, Cornell and boom, you commit in August, you sign your papers in March or February, March, whenever, you get your acceptance letters and things of that nature. Why do we have an early signing day? Me personally, I think it's stupid. I think it's ridiculous. Get rid of the damn thing because you have playoffs, you have portal, you have all this crap. Why put Mike Singer wants to sign at Florida State? Why put you in a bind when the entire world could change 6 weeks after you sign? It's like,
Tim, please respect my decision.
Yes, exactly. Respect my decision. Exactly.
But, all right.
But you know what I mean. I think it's ridiculous. These are kids that are picking a college. You don't need to pick a college before you play your senior year. That's Tim, just my humble opinion. Then so be it. Just wait till February.
When we were talking about the 14 team playoff thing, you said I'm a simpleton, and that stuck with me. I'm a simpleton too, right? Remember the argument about if Notre Dame, if you go 10-2, you can't complain about not getting the playoff because you lost two games. Like that, that's kind of how me and you think. For me on this, let's make this very simple. I like the February signing period because although it kind of is right there at the end of after the Super Bowl, some of those NFL moves happen. But for the most part, it's so far back that all the craziness in college football is done by then. All the coaching changes, all that crap is done by February. Again, the NFL, the post-Super Bowl moves can kind of affect that, but it's usually not going to be head coaches changes. But last Wednesday in June? What? It makes no sense. At least do July. Like, they're doing official visits in June.
Man, you're finishing high school in June. You got a couple weeks off, and you start your training for your high school football program in June. You start, 4th of July, start getting going. June, guys are in camps. Yeah. Guys are doing summer camps and all this stuff. It's like
June is early. So going back to my point about the February. So Matt says, what about early enrollees? Early enrollees existed before the December signing day. You just enroll. You didn't sign. You just enrolled. You just got there. It was great. Yeah. You became a student, and that's where you went.
Financial aid is your legal technical document. It's the same thing. I've had guys go D1, 1AA, D2. I've had a bunch of guys go D3 and be all conference D3 type guys. D3 guys, man, they don't do any of this crap till February or March either. So. What is the big hang up? Like, we got to get all these guys. The June thing is ridiculous.
I want to see. I want to know what I want to be a fly on the wall in like why they come up. Tim, one thing I don't really like in the media is we see things like that and we just shit on them. And we're like, this is the stupidest thing without hearing their side of the story.
Of course,
I can't sit in that room and get that side of the story. I'm sure other reporters, you know, your Ross Dellingers of the world, whoever these big time ESPN, they'll put some of that stuff out there. I just want to know. It doesn't make sense. The Wednesday after the regular season, that's worse than the December one you have right now, in my opinion. Like, again, I want to know what the hell they're thinking because it doesn't make sense to me. Might as well just keep the third Wednesday in December. Why the Wednesday after the regular season? Your coach is about to get fired. Like, I don't know.
Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, that's his proposal. He wants to just do the one right after conference, like the Wednesday after conference championship game signing day, because he doesn't want to do it, you know, like the end of December, which it's been, because that's playoff time. Guys should be getting ready for playoffs, not signing day ceremonies. Completely makes sense. So just get rid of it and go back to February. All the season's done. All the coaching changes are done. See, I'm a coach, so I don't want my player going through a bind of so many things changing. I mean, look at Julian Sain, for example, the quarterback who, you know, Carlsbad, California, who signed with Alabama. Nick Saban leaves. Well, guess what? He has an instant 30-day window. Instant 30-day window to go wherever he wants, goes to Ohio State. So just wait till February. Go back to the old days. And it's and lastly, I was reading just a couple days ago where they're thinking about doing a portal window, getting rid of this December one, and just do a portal window basically after the spring semester, which is going to be interesting. So what does – but that's a portal if you're leaving. Guys like Chris Mitchell, Bo Collins, Riley Leonard, guys, you know, I mean, let's say Notre Dame guys, got they're graduates. They could come in the middle of the year. Portal, talking about the Rico Floreses of the world, Tobias Merriweathers.
You got Riley Leonard. Riley Leonard's not a graduate, if I was told correct. But
true.
Duke guy.
You're a Duke guy, yeah.
Here's my proposal, Tim, and we're going to wrap up here soon.
I love it.
Give me August, okay? Give me like the first Wednesday in August. You can sign then. Right. If you are a Cooper Flanagan, for example, you commit to Notre Dame your junior year, those early commits sign. And then if you have a head coach leave, then you get that 30-day window to leave and it doesn't count against your eligibility. Give me like if they're hell bent on an early signing period, get it out of December. December has never just made it a whole lot of sense to me. August and give me February. That's kind of what I've liked, and that's it. I don't know. But Jeremy says, this was about 7 minutes ago when he posted this, they must want massive withdrawal of letter intents by guys because that's what's going to happen with a June signing day. I think June doesn't make – I mean, you're still going to get it with August. But, again, if they're hell-bent on doing an early signing day – I would do it August, like first Wednesday in August. So it's, you know, right at the start of fall camp. So sign your guys, start fall camp, get the season going, you know, get your CJ Cars of the world, get those guys signed, and then finish it up in February. But that's
yeah, kind of it's cool. Yeah, I've never been a big fan of the early signing. I know why they do it, but early signing period basically, as you know, turned into signing period. It just 99% of everyone.
In August, wouldn't I think there would be a ton of guys who don't. It's just your super solid guys would sign.
I agree. I agree with you, Mike. There's still going to be a lot of wavering and whatnot. So you're going to sign your 15 or 17 Notre Dame guys, those early pledges, if they all do it, right? I mean, what if you just sit out there and that's why the coach in me says, man, just wait. Let these guys have their year. Let these guys have their summer. And go from all that thing, and you always get late risers and things of that nature. Yeah. Just let it go. It's go back to the old ways. We're doing nothing like the old ways. This is one thing that we can do the old ways and do it in February. That's what I would like to see. So,
yeah, I'm sure if they did my August, there would be a ton of side effects as well. But this three signing period, good Lord, there'd be some crazy ones. Here's the tweet from Charles Power. Gonna end on this. It's a bunch of potential unintended consequences to weigh in with the signing period before the senior season. The recruitment and evaluation timelines for schools already don't sync up one-to-one with most prospects' development, which is best seen in the senior season. This would make it even murkier. I talk to Charles all the time because I see him at all these events, and he says, like, a school like Notre Dame, for example, evaluates so early. They're making their decisions on kids. Like, are we taking him or are we not? Before the junior season, Tim.
Yes.
Right? They might get a quarterback commit before the junior season. Charles Power and these rankings guys, they don't have to do it until even after they sign.
I know.
Right? After the All-American Bowl, they get so much time to make their decisions on these prospects and where they're ranking them. Whereas the schools, they have to decide whether they're taking them before the junior season. So I think this is a good point from Charles.
In three weeks, you and I are going to do a show. We're going to hype up Pot of Gold and all that. It's dudes who just played their sophomore season. That's
it. This is the calendar, man. It's,
that's what I'm saying. It's the calendar. They're going to send out 75 offers, and these are the guys that we're looking at for 18 months from now. It's wild. It's all wild. Hopefully they get rid of it. Oh, man. Let's just get to the playoff, Mike. Win games, Notre Dame. Let's have a freaking fun December. How's that? Well,
Tim, K-Mac says, been on the phone, damn near missed the whole episode. Well, the great thing is you can just take the little slider, slide it over to the beginning, and just rewatch the whole hour in 6 minute show here. So that's the beauty of it. K-Mac, appreciate you. But yeah, Tim, we're going to end it there. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about next Wednesday. What that is, no idea, but I'm sure the world of Notre Dame and College Bowl will give us plenty to talk about. And we were going to talk about revisiting our bold predictions from last year. We didn't get to that today, but Tim, remind me. You'll forget, but remind me.
Right here, Mike. I always know what we need to talk about. We just find better topics eventually. But
Yeah, that's true. We do. So we're going to end the live show right there, folks. Hit the thumbs up if you've not done so yet. Subscribe to our channel, of course, for more content. Our offer, if you are interested in subscribing to blueandgold.com, you can interact with all of our staff at Blue and Gold, which includes me, Tim, Kyle Kelly, Tyler Horka, Jack Sobel. Got to get Gouldsby back on the board. He's had some login issues, but I'm going to get Gouldsby back on the board hopefully tomorrow. $1 for 2 months using the promo code UND1. If you sign up for the website as a new subscriber, please post a thread or send me a message. Let me know you came from YouTube. Would love to introduce myself on the written communication side of things. We're going to end the stream there. Tim, great stuff as always tonight, Notre Dame fans. Appreciate you all for watching or listening. And as always, we will catch you next time.